But recognizing here that the Solomon, in all his wisdom and all of the things that he went through in his life, and yet we find here he says that of all the things, of all the materialism, of all the other things that are so less significant, he says they are vanity. But there's one thing that holds true, and that is God and His Word. And we need to recognize and be responsible children of His. I want us to think today about these things. I want us to consider, if you will, some responsibilities that we have. This lesson will be in two parts. The first part in the first service, and then the second service will conclude. But we need to recognize our responsibility to God. This comes at our tender age of our Christianity. Recognizing God, who He is, what He is, what He stands for, and what He is to each and every one of us. We need to recognize that we need, as Solomon said here, to fear God and keep His commandments. This fear is a reverent fear, a fear of recognizing God, who He is, being the Maker and the Creator of all things, and through that respect and honor that we have for Him, in that He cares for us, He supplies us with all our necessities, and recognizing that we need to give and be responsible unto Him. Again, we look back over, if you will, into the New Testament there, and we find in Acts chapter 10, if you'll turn your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 10, and we find there in verse 34 beginning, notice he says there, when Peter opened his mouth, in truth, Peter says, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears Him, that is God, whoever fears Him and works righteousness, notice, is accepted by Him. In order for me to be accepted by God, I need to respect Him and show this reverent fear unto Him. Not only that, but in my reference to God, I need to respect Him and show my responsibility and my love to Him. Again, we look at Matthew chapter 22, and the question was brought before Jesus. And we find Jesus answering this great question of God here in verse 36. The question is brought, which is the great commandment in the law? In other words, they were kind of wanting to categorize the commandments of God. And which one is the number one commandment? And we find here that Jesus, He gave His answer. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. With every bit of our being, wherever it comes from, all of our love is to be focused on God and Him first. He says this is the first and great commandment. Our love is to be greatest to God before all other things, and it should be given unto Him. If I'm going to show my proper responsibilities, I need to also recognize that it is obedience unto God. It is not enough just to reverence God and to show Him His proper respect unto Him, but I need to also obey Him. I cannot have faith without work. And we find that in the book of James. In Ecclesiastes 12 again, referencing back to the beginning there, we notice there that Solomon said, the whole duty of man, my whole responsibility on this earth is to fear God. And not only fear Him, but also to keep His commandments. I am to obey Him. He has given me instructions that I can fulfill my life here on this earth in service unto Him. And it is my responsibility to do that, to follow those commandments. In Hebrews chapter 5, when you go back over to the book of Hebrews, and notice there in chapter 5 of that book, we find there in verses 8 and 9, that even Christ Himself, it says, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience. Jesus Himself obeyed His Father in all things. When He came to this earth, there are many passages that you can find where it says Jesus saying, I came not to do my will, but Thy will, speaking unto His heavenly Father. He fulfilled His Father's will. He obeyed His Father in everything that His Father gave Him to do. We in turn, as just as Christ did, we need to learn that same obedience through the example that Jesus gave. And there it says there in verse 9, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So thusly, as Christ obeyed his Father, we obey him. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, we find here in this passage where Peter and the other apostles, they are being persecuted for the cause of Christ. They're being commanded not to speak or preach or teach in any way the Lord Jesus Christ. And many of them were threatened by their lives. They were threatened with imprisonment. They were threatened with bodily harm. And yet we find the apostles here in verse 29 saying, that should be our mindset. That no matter what man may say, no matter what man may do, I'm going to obey God. Why? Because that is my responsibility as one of his children. I want us to also recognize in John chapter 4 and verse 24, we cannot forget our purpose for being here today. Is to worship our Almighty God. As it says in John 4:24, for God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It is a command of God that we worship him. It is to show my proper responsibility. Where should I be whenever the assembly is together? It is here worshiping God. Not off doing something else as in our class this morning. So many fail to worship God because of their own self-will. That is not showing my proper responsibility to my Heavenly Father. God wants proper worship. He wants it to be done according to His will. And with the right frame of mind when I'm here worshiping Him. Not somewhere else wandering around. But my responsibility goes much further than just to God. Sometimes people think, well, that's just all I need to do is I'm responsible to God. Well, it goes further than that. My responsibility also goes to Christ himself, the Son of God. When you recognize the great sacrifice that Christ gave of himself upon that cross, he gave of his own life for you and I. And so we find that there is a responsibility that I have to him also. Again, when keeping his will. In John 14:15, Jesus simply says there, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. My demonstration of my love to Christ and to God is how I obey them and keep the commandments that they have given unto me. We find it so important that Christ repeated that very same thought in verses 21 and 23 also. Again, the demonstration of my love is shown by my keeping his will, his commandments. And then we find also that I am to be in subjection unto him. My responsibility is to recognize where Christ is. And not so much as that, but where his position is. Christ is ruling over his kingdom today. He is at the right hand of his Father. We are a part of that kingdom. And just as any citizen in any kingdom looks up to their king and takes the instructions of their king, Christ is our king. And we are to listen unto him and be into subjection as he is our king. In Ephesians chapter 5, we find here it has a correlation here between the church and Christ and husbands and wives. And follow with me if you will. In verse 22, here the writer says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. Now notice here, as also Christ is the head of the church. See, recognizing where Christ is and what his position is when it comes to the church. He is the head of the church. He is responsible for the church. And so, in turn, it says there that he also is the Savior of the body. Now, church and body are used in conjunction with one another there. Notice there in verse 24, it says, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, we individually make up that church. We are a part of that church. And as we strive and work together in subjection unto Him, that is, unto Christ, we are as it says here, wives being to their own husbands. And notice there in the latter part of verse 24, in everything. We are subject unto Christ in all things. There is nothing left up for us. In Colossians 1:18, it says there that He, that is Christ, He is the head of the body, the church. Now that is simple understanding. You can understand that your arms and your legs and your fingers and your hands, every motion of your body is directed by the head. Christ is the head. So every motion I take, everything that I do, everything that I say should come from the head. Just as our physical body reacts to our mind. Everything I say, everything I think, everything that I do comes from my intellect. Christ is the head. Every member is subject unto Him. That is my responsibility unto Him. We find also that if I'm going to be properly showing the responsibility that I should have to Christ, I've got to believe, truly believe, not half-heartedly, with no doubt in my mind, that Christ truly is the Son of God, if I'm going to be truly responsible to Him. In John chapter 8, we find there, in that particular passage there, going back to John 8, and notice there in verse 21 through 24, again, Jesus made this statement to His disciples. He said, I am going away, and you will seek Me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, He says, you cannot come. That's a little confusing for His disciples. And in fact, some of the Jews that were there, they heard this, and it says they said, will He kill Himself? Is that what He's talking about? Is He going to commit some kind of suicide here? And because He says, where I go, you cannot come? But Jesus, understanding and seeing what they were saying about this, He said to them, He says, you are from beneath. But He says, I am not from beneath, I'm from above. And He says, you are of this world. But He says, I am not of this world. Therefore, for this reason, Jesus said, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. We have got to, with no doubt in our minds, believe and truly believe everything that we hear from God's Word about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, about His birth, about His life, about His death, His crucifixion, His burial, and His resurrection. We've got to believe it with all our heart that these are the facts and the truth of God's will. And this is truly Jesus, the Son of God, if I'm going to be properly responsible unto Him. In John chapter 20, we find here in verse 26 through 31, we find here Thomas, if you will. We look here and we find in verse 26 beginning that after 8 days, the disciples were again inside this house where they were gathered together. And this time, now many other times, there was a time before when Christ came, but Thomas was not there. He was not among them when Christ showed up. And they told him about Jesus and His appearance, but Thomas would not believe them. And so this instance here, we find that it was 8 days later, His disciples were again in the house. Thomas this time was with them, and Jesus came to the door, and the doors being shut, stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then He looked to Thomas, and He said unto him, I want you to reach your finger here. I want you to look at my hands. I want you to reach your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe. Here Thomas was able to witness for himself the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the flesh. He witnessed for himself the holes that were in his hands. He witnessed for himself where the spear went through his side. We don't have that luxury. We cannot physically witness for ourselves, but it is through God's Word that we believe with all our hearts. With the accounts of all the witnesses, with the time that Jesus spent on this earth before he ascended into heaven, and all of the witness accounts that are written in His Word should be more than enough for us to have full faith, full belief that Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God. That is my responsibility. And then, of course, as we love God, we also should love Christ. And as we find there, we find as Jesus makes this statement about how much love should we love Christ. Well, we find in verse 37 there, where Jesus says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Understanding where our love should be for Christ. We are to love God, a Father, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. Jesus says our love to Him should be greater than our love for our own loved ones, for our own spouses. It's not to say that we do not love them at all, but that we love them less than we love Him. Our love should be greater unto Him. He says there in verse 38, "He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And he who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it." This is the love that Jesus expects from us. With the great sacrifice that He gave unto us, it should not be that difficult for us to love Him as He has asked, recognizing the great sacrifice that He gave unto us. But my responsibilities go much further than that as a child of God. Not only am I responsible to God and to Christ, but I am also responsible to the church. That is what Christ has died for. And I need to recognize that I have certain responsibilities in the church of our Lord. Those responsibilities come with attending services. In Hebrews chapter 10, we find there it acknowledges the fact of not forsaking the assembling of the services there, as the manner of some is. But yet it says there, but much more, he says, notice here as he writes here in verse 25, as is the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, we need to be looking forward to that worship that is coming. This worship is set aside by the leadership of the church in every local congregation. And it is my responsibility to be at those worship services. And I've had many say, "Well, you know, worship service I can understand is an important thing and I need to be there." But this responsibility goes even a little further. Not only am I to be there for worship, but the leadership of the church sets aside time for Bible studies, where we can come together as individuals in our age groups, and we can study about God and learn more about God, discuss the thoughts about God and His will. I'm responsible for being a part of that discussion. I can't be a part of that if I'm at home waiting until the worship service time comes. We find that even on, I think you have Wednesday night Bible studies, as most of us do. And we find that there again, we find members sometimes who do not find a need or do not find the responsibility of being there for those feeding sessions. But these are times, if we fail to be there, that we become weak. Weak because we have become malnourished in the will of God. These are important things. These are responsibilities that I as an individual have toward the church. We find also that I am to support the church. We find in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2 there, we find Paul admonishing the church in Corinth there about this idea of supporting the church. In this particular passage here, it is referring there to that of the collections. Concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia. So you must do also, he says. On the first day of the week, he establishes a time that we are to do it. On the first day of the week, let each one of you, notice there, it is an individual responsibility. Each one of us are responsible for laying something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. We are responsible for that as individuals. Some will say, well, you know, I don't have as much as so-and-so, and I don't see where I'm responsible as they are. We give as we have been prospered, he says. This is a responsibility that I have to the local congregation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we find that this also comes and must come with a proper attitude in my giving. In verse 6, and whenever we think about this, it doesn't necessarily mean here in verses 6 and 7 of my giving of my of a collection, but it also refers there to that of myself. Notice there he says, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So he says, let each one, notice there that individual responsibility, let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for he says, God loves a cheerful giver. My attitude should be right. Not only of what I have giving of my means, but also of myself. I am to support the work here that goes on within the congregation here in this community. I need to also recognize that I need to be a participator. So many people like to be just observers. They don't want to participate. They feel some way like they're inadequate. They're not equipped to do anything. And so in turn, they end up just being the observer and not involved in the work that goes on in the local congregation. We find, again, Paul had to address this issue with the church in Corinth there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and notice verse 14 beginning. He talks and he uses the reference here of the physical body. And he says, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. In other words, the church is not made up of just one member. The church has many members. And so he says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, am I not of the body? As it is therefore not of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, think about that. Where would the hearing come from? And if the whole were hearing, where would the smelling come from? We have all these senses that God has blessed us with. And they are all, notice, and you think about it, they are all necessary. My hearing is failing me. All the years as a mechanic, and it's taken its toll on my hearing. And I feel that effect. And it limits me as to what I can do and what I can't do. And so I have to rely, and many times I rely on, most of the time, on my wife to be able to tell me things that I can't hear. And so we need to lean on one another. We need to recognize that we all work together. He goes on to say there, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleases. Isn't that a wonderful thing to recognize that God has placed each one of us in our proper position in the church, in our proper place? Why? Because God sees strength in every one of us. And God is looking for me to be that one to participate in whatever I'm capable of doing. He says there, if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. I cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. How selfish that could be. But he goes on to say, no, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker, notice what he says there, they are necessary. Sometimes we kind of look at others and we'll say, you know, they're not that significant, but they are. Every one of us individually, we are all significant in the body of Christ. We are all needed. We are all responsible for doing our part in the work that goes on in the local congregation. When it comes, and of course we'll get into this next one here in the next service here. If there are those here today that are in need of the gospel, I'm assured that the water is prepared, clothing is ready, and you can be baptized into Christ Jesus today. That as we talked about this in these few thoughts here, that I have a responsibility to God. God has given all, and God wants us to obey Him. Jesus Himself, in open arms, is inviting us in. Are we willing to accept the invitation? Are we willing to believe with all of our heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Willing to leave sin behind? No longer to serve Satan, but to serve God. To make that good confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and to be washed in the watery grave of baptism. If you're here today and you're in need of the gospel and you want to obey the gospel, we hope and pray you won't allow Satan to hold you back any longer. If you are a child of God, maybe you've not been as faithful as you should be. Maybe there's sin in your life that you need to rid yourself of. It's a chain about your neck that is dragging you behind. You need to be in proper relationship with God. And the only way that can be is by ridding yourself of the sin, asking God to forgive you of that sin, and then He promises He will forgive. Whatever your needs are, we hope and pray you'll come forward while together we stand and sing the invitation song.